Well, greetings to everybody. Greetings to greetings to our newest country. Well, not the newest country on the world, the newest country on our show. Somebody give me a script, will you please? I need a script. I'm gonna do this right. Greetings to Argentina. Don't cry for me. Anyway, Argentina has joined the Andy Mander Show, and that's where you're at right now. You're tuned into the Andy and Mander Show here on Blog Talk Radio, or if you're listening to a podcast, wherever you might be in the world, this is the one and only, as they say, only on the Andy and Mander Show, live from the USA and UK. My name is Andy Kimball, and we do have Amanda Love all the way across on the opposite side of the world in the UK.
Hello.
Hey, Amanda, how are we doing on this, let me see, 12, it's 8 o'clock in the evening for you there. How was the sunset tonight? Was there a sunset today?
Oh, firstly, hello to you, darling, and hello to our listeners, and welcome, Argentina. That's absolutely amazing having you guys on board. Wow. Sunset. So cool. I didn't get to see the sunset. It's been so cloudy and grey all day. Yeah, I do love a good sunset, though, Andy. I really do. It moves my soul.
There's a song there somewhere.
yeah, right.
Hey, you know,
I'm
doing pretty fine, thank you. Getting ready to travel, but I don't know if I am. I'm supposed to go east tonight, and what was Hurricane Ida, now a tropical storm moving up the East Coast right to where I'm going. American Airlines sent me a note, or actually I checked in, and they said, you are eligible to change your flight at no fees, no anything. I'm looking at this weather going up there. I'm not worried about flying in the weather because I was a pilot and I flew in it all the time. But I have to go to Charlotte and then head from Charlotte up to White Plains, New York, and I don't want to be stuck in Charlotte because the storm is supposed to go. You know, what happens when you get storms is it creates air traffic control delays, departures and arrivals, because everything's on instruments and, you know, guiding all the airplanes in on instruments versus allowing visual approaches, which expedites things. They have gate holds, you know, they're allowed X amount of departures and arrivals and gate holds, and it kind of backs up the whole system when you get a great big storm system, whether it be inclement winter weather or hurricanes or squall lines that are moving across. And this particular hurricane, a tropical storm, is going to mix with a cold front as it moves up towards the White Plains area and most likely stall and hang in there for a while. And I don't want to be stuck down there. I love you folks in Charlotte. Don't get me wrong. I know we have a listener down in Charlotte. We have a caller down there in that area, as I know. I think Lisa's in Charlotte, if I'm mistaken, or nearby somewhere.
North Carolina?
Yeah. So she's down there. But anyway, and a greeting, Lisa, if you're listening to the show, give us a call again. But anyway, I don't want to be stuck there on the way to White Plains, and I might change my travel plans, which will keep me in California. Well, we're experiencing some light rain and clouds today for a change, which is pleasant to be able to say, actually. It's a lot of fun to hear every day. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get into some things today. We're going to talk about a lot of things, including we're going to touch on AMC again. I bought some more. Ta-da. And,
woo-hoo! Yeah.
Yeah. And so much going on here. The withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan is complete, and Biden has said any American who is there who wants to leave, we will find you and we will get you out. And we can talk about that some more if you folks want to. Our number here is 515-605-9888. Please do give us a call. Most importantly, Amanda, I don't know if you heard this or not, but Texas has banned most abortions. Or should I say woman's right to do what she wants to with her body, what the woman chooses and her family and her clergy or whoever it might be surrounding her, making the best decisions for her and her life and her health. This decision has been taken over by the government of Texas. So we're talking a seismic shift on abortion rights. And I will say this. I don't know if I've disclosed this before. My first job and in high school, I worked for Planned Parenthood. I did birth control counseling for teens and peers. And then I went on to do problem pregnancy counseling, which doesn't mean abortion referral. It means problem pregnancy counseling. Some people kept babies, some people didn't, but we counseled, you know, and mostly teens. I did it mostly. I was a teen myself. And I've been a very, very strong proponent my whole life of women's rights, including the woman's right to choose, the woman's right to have equal pay in the job, the woman's right to have maternity and family leave when having a baby, and the woman's right to be really sexy and beautiful. So.
You and many others, my darling. I love your honesty.
Thank you. What this does down in Texas is it at this particular time, it Roe versus Wade, which in the early 70s made abortion legal in the United States, and it was actually a something that somebody who was on medical assistance could get assistance in, and medical, fee assistance in having an abortion. So there were, in a sense, if a woman who wasn't financially able to have a pregnancy terminated, which was most of the time done very, very, very early. I'm against late-term abortions. I truly am, especially after having kids. My God, I can't imagine. Unless it was an incredible health risk and blah, blah, blah. Can't imagine. I'm against late-term abortions. I'm flat out, if you've gone months into the pregnancy, sorry. Have that baby, man. There's nothing better in the world than babies and kids and oh my God, I can't imagine. I can't imagine somebody terminating a pregnancy, well into it. However, when the cells are so small that they can fit on a pinhead, right? A pinhead, their cells.
Yeah.
And somebody finds out they're pregnant 4 or 6 weeks into it, I guess I support the woman's right to do as she chooses. I do. Whatever it might be, right?
Yeah.
Well, so Roe v. Wade made abortion legal in the United States, all across the United States. And what's happened with this Texas ruling, essentially, it upended in the state of Texas the ability, the Roe v. Wade ruling. It is the most restrictive abortion law in the country. It's in Texas. It essentially bans all abortions after 6 weeks. At 6 weeks, 6 weeks really is before most women even know they're pregnant.
Right.
And now the law also gives private citizens the right to sue doctors or anyone else connected to a woman getting an abortion for as much as $10,000. All they need to do is help. I mean, it could be an Uber driver. Lyft driver, whatever, taxi cab driver, take a woman to a clinic who could be sued in the timing once this, in other words, the timing of a fetal heartbeat being detected or, it's theirs. Once that happens, then abortion is illegal. You can't. And this also includes rape and incest.
Oh, my goodness.
If you were molested and impregnated by your brother or your father or your uncle, if you were raped in a back alley and you're pregnant, you have to have the baby.
Oh, goodness. That is horrific.
Now, this is ass backward. What is going – now, the Supreme Court in the United States failed to intervene last night. They could have. What does this mean? What's going on in this country, folks? What's happening here? What are we going to do?
We know
Democrats and moderate-thinking liberal – I'm not saying left-wing, extreme liberal. I'm talking moderate-centered, but moderate Democrats – and enabled Roe v. Wade to happen. And we've been – it's like the boy who cried wolf. We've been saying all along, including me, it'll never happen. Let them talk all they want. It'll never happen. It's the law. The law is the law is the law. When the Supreme Court justices were asked during the confirmation hearings, many of them said, well, look, the law is the law. It's the law. And the senators who – were interviewing them at these hearings, they couldn't get a direct answer. Will you make abortion legal in the United States? Well, it's the law. The law says that you can have an abortion, The Supreme Court failed to intervene. They could have. What does this do for Roe v. Wade?
Wow.
They could have blocked it. They could have blocked it.
Right.
This is the tightest abortion restriction since Roe versus Wade. And now this landmark decision, Roe v. Wade. How come I can't spit that out? Roe v. Wade. it puts it in jeopardy. So,
Are women able to travel out of state to get it done?
Yes. Yes, they are. And also, The morning after pill. It's got to be the morning after. How's that song go? The morning after pill, which I heard is pretty prominent now anyway. That morning after pill. I think that has taken. I don't know. This is a fact. So don't quote me on this because I don't. I'm saying this totally with as an uninformed citizen. That it seems to me. It seems to me. And I could be wrong. That the morning after pill has taken the place of many of what they call, and I'm just going to say what it is, the vacuum aspiration abortions, which are done very, very, very early on. It's like having a DNC. Women out there can relate, you know. And that is when the cells that could potentially be a baby, you could fit those cells on a pinhead, right? And that to me is, if you're going to terminate a pregnancy, that's when you do it. Hell, you don't wait until you have a baby in your womb. My God.
Oh, no, yeah, I happen to agree with that, because that really is then some sort of...
I can't even think of it. I can't fathom the idea. Unless they did some kind of amniotic testing later on, and they found that this baby was not going to make it, had a huge heart defect, was somehow, you know... I mean, again, who are we to play God? I mean, it's up to the woman and up to the families. I don't want to contradict myself. Mm. Somebody might... have a baby and the doctors say your baby's going to have this defect and it's going to have an arm instead of a leg and whatever, and if the woman and the family say, well, that's okay, you know, that's my baby, I want to have my baby, then have the baby. But there's some cases where this is pretty significant, and the doctor will say this baby, if they're not stillborn, is not going to make it a couple hours outside of the womb or something like that because of A, B, C, and D. And it's up to that woman to make the decision to say, okay, let's... Now, here's the deal about that. Medical abortions, for medical health reasons, if it has to be, if it's a life or death situation, I believe that is exempted. So maybe...
Well, see, that makes me so angry, as you can tell already. I'm tripping over my words because I've had friends and family advised by doctors to end the baby's life because they were... 100% sure the baby would have a bad life, that they wouldn't survive. And my niece is a beautiful example. She gave birth to a baby boy last year, and for the whole time of her pregnancy, the doctors were saying, no, he's got he was a rare case of his heart being pushed to the side and having some sort of lump that was causing the problem. And they said, no, the baby will never survive, it's going to have brain injury and all this kind of problems. And they kept pushing and pushing for us to terminate that baby, and you know what, that baby fought, it had surgery, and it's still alive today. Incredible. And it breaks my heart to think that all that time they weren't even allowing her really the opportunity to say, no, I want to do this. Instead, they were trying to convince her not to. And if a person is in that position and says, no, I want to have this baby regardless of what happens, whether the baby comes out, stillborn, or it dies after birth, I want the option to have this, instead of convincing them that, there is no way out when there is. That baby is a rare case right now and a beautiful example. And the fact it's gone down in the books. In the hospitals as a beautiful example of the condition that he had, and has taught the doctors a few things. So it just goes to show you that everything the doctors say isn't necessarily fact and isn't necessarily true, that that's going to be the case. And so many people get put off with kids with Down syndrome. That angers me the most. That really does, because there are so many beautiful children out there and adults that have Down syndrome and have a perfect opportunity at life, And they get mocked and told, give up the baby. It's like, no, come on now. This is ridiculous.
Right. Well, within the first, who am I? I'm not a medical professional, I'm going back years, but I did work at Planned Parenthood. I did problem pregnancy counsel. I led birth control wrap sessions for teenagers in a confidential, secure setting, a very comfortable setting where sexually active teens could get information to prevent pregnancy. And I got to say something real quick, and I think I've said this a long time ago on the show. We talked about this briefly a while back. When I was at Planned Parenthood, again, I was in high school at the time and just out of high school, I was curious as to who the girls, and I worked with teens. I was a teenager, and I worked with other teens. I did peer group counseling, and you know that, right? So I was curious as to where all these women and couples, you know, were coming from, and why were they coming to Planned Parenthood for support and help? Well, obviously, most could not talk to their parents about being sexually active, which is a crime. And her parents deny, oh, not my kid. Well, your kid's right now in the car, ma'am, or at their boyfriend's house or wherever, or maybe be upstairs and you don't even know it. Anyway.
Yeah. Wherever it may be.
Anyway, I'm not going to talk about my own sexual exploits. Anyway, but maybe sometime we will. But anyway, oh, Lord, those were the days. Anyway. So I did that, and so I was curious as to why and where these girls were, and again, couples were coming from. So I designed a poll under the auspices of Planned Parenthood. They allowed me to do this, and I designed a questionnaire, which was very comfortable and very simple and very accommodating, informal, that led down. You know, I remember the piece of paper. It was blue. It was a blue 8x11 sheet with black type on it. I took a picture of it in my head. I still see it. And one of the questions, as you funnel down this question, you know, would you like your experience here? What could we do to make our life better? You know, typical questions. And then could an unwanted pregnancy been avoided if you'd known about our services previously, you know, before your visit here? And the next question was, or a couple questions later, do you school? And then, you know, check marks, public school, private school, parochial school. Almost 60%. And this is absolutely true. Almost 60% of the girls who said, yes, an unwanted pregnancy could have been avoided if I'd known about your services earlier, came from Catholic schools.
That doesn't surprise me.
As a teen, it surprised me at the time. Now it does not. But I agree with you.
Yeah.
60. That is a huge. So here's what happened. We took all this data, which was a significant amount of data. We had three birth control rap sessions every Saturday, and each rap session had 20-some kids in it. And they had doctor exams. They were given free condoms if they wanted birth control prescriptions. They were given that, you know, whatever they needed. IUDs, you know, I guess at the time it was IUD, condoms, and birth control. Birth control pills. I don't know what they have today. No idea. But anyway, there's probably a whole lot more today than there was then. But anyway, now there's patches or something. I don't know. I have no idea. but anyway.
Gum as well.
I'm the dad of two amazing girls, and I'm, when I think about abortion, I think about my girls. I'm like, how could you? Except what I've said previously about 6 weeks or, you know, whatever. Even though that could be a baby, I know that. Believe me, I know that. I know it could be, but it ain't. Yeah, there's cells that are grouped together that will form, you know, at that time. But I can't even think about that. It's even hard for me to think about that, believe it or not, because I think about what those beautiful cells can form someday. Oh, it's very difficult for me to even say yes. I agree with the – so what I'm saying, I guess, is I agree. It's not my business, nor is the government's business. It's the woman, her boyfriend, her husband, her clergy, her counselor, her family, her life counselors, whoever, you know, it's not up to the fucking government. You know, if you don't like it, then why don't you spend as much time as you are going against, oh, no abortions killing, pro-life. Why don't you spend your energy, your time, and your money on advocating the use of fucking birth control, idiots?
What is the basis for that argument,
Andy? We're not going to be proponents of that's promoting sexual promiscuity. Oh, but look what the fucking happened as you know. So you're so hypocrites. Damn it, Jesus Christ!
I mean, where does all this root from? All you know, this pro-life thing. I know I refer back to this so often, and it does get brought up so often because it's a huge part of our culture, okay? So if we go back to religion, because religion always comes into it somewhere, when you talked about the Catholic girls, you know, getting pregnant and everything like that. So religion and the Bible was, of course, they're going to say, no, you can't destroy a life like that, which I understand. I get it, because your body is meant to be the temple of God. You know, you're meant to look after your body because God gave you the body, blah, blah, blah. So therefore, if you get pregnant, a pregnancy happens within your body, which is the temple of God, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I understand that concept and that way of thinking and being, et cetera. But, you know, for a government to then say, well, we're taking control of your choice, because supposedly when you came here, everything you do is your choice. When you're born, everything you do from that moment, apart from your parents guiding you, obviously, you still have a choice. And when we talk about religion, God expects you to make the decisions based on your choices, whether they're right or wrong, you know, whether it's a sinful thing or, you know, a good thing. So if that choice lays on you, how does a government body have the power to take over that choice?
Yes, exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
and
you know,
I get what you're saying. You're God. Oh, it's a sin. Well, you know, who says who? God. Let me see. When was the Bible
written? That's between you and God. You know what I'm saying?
Is that 1776? No, that was the Declaration. That was not the Bible. That was the Declaration of Independence.
And clearly there's no independence here.
speaking of which, no, I'm kidding, folks, obviously, but, you know, and then, you know, think about this. Oh, it's a sin to have, it's a sin, sodomy is a sin.
Yeah.
God now goes into the bedrooms and tells you what is legal and what isn't legal in his through his God's eyes. Oh, don't have anal sex. Not that I would know the difference, but anyway, don't have anal sex. Probably the wrong guy. Anyway,
yeah,
we'll talk about that some other future show. You know, anyway, we get Dr. Ruth back on here. But, you know, getting back to this God thing, and God lives in the bedroom and decides what one does with their lives. Of course, as by now, most of our regular listeners know that yours truly is an atheist. There is no God. You know, we evolved and, you know, I don't want to go into that nor to indicate the show to that. But so when I say God does this, it's not in the world as far as I'm concerned, but people do believe it, and good for you if you do. And if God dictates if you turn right or left in life, or if you live a moral life or you don't, if God makes that decision for you, well, then I commend you, and you must be amazingly lucky to have that in your life. Must be wonderful to have. So congratulations to you, and it's wonderful if you have it, but it's not part of my world or my life. That's all I want to say about that. But anyway, but getting back to what you were saying, is you're right. It is such hypocrisy going on. You know, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Looking back, it was January 23rd, 1973. That's the date that Roe v. Wade was the last time a state had laws banning abortion. When the the Supreme Court came in and said abortion is legal. Now, September 1st, 2021, effective at midnight, was the first day since 1973 where the state has legally banned abortion. There's a federal law that says abortion is legal. Since when can the state come in and override that? Well, I guess a while ago, because the feds gave the states the right to decide what's best for them, for that state, and not have well, that in a sense is banning Roe v. Wade in a way, giving it because states can suddenly decide abortion is illegal, and what happens to Roe v. Wade?
Yeah.
Well, Roe v. Wade is a federal law. Abortion is legal.
Yeah.
So this is going to be contested big time. Don't worry, Texas.
It is. And I think
actually, we have to worry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think a lot of people will come forward and say, well, actually, the government body is all accounted for within the Bible, within religion. It's seen as the structure that holds society, and quite often they act on behalf of God. It's like, okay, I get that point, but that's still something bigger than ourselves interfering with one person's personal decision that shapes the form of their life, their choices, and ultimately where they end up. So I don't see that's a wise thing for a government to dictate a person's life in to that level, especially a woman's life. And I know that sounds so like I'm, you know, being sexist here or saying, you know, men don't understand or don't count and it's all about the women. It's not. I'm not one of those people. I do believe that women still have a certain amount of suppression in this world. You go to certain countries, Afghanistan is a prime example right now, that, you know, women just don't have the power to be who they were born to be. And in many countries, they're seen as the eyes of just providing children for a family and having to take orders from their husband. And that's all we're good for. And that's really, really sad. And I guess we feel so outraged in countries like the UK and the US and blah, 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 where women do have more of a choice and the ability to vote and how hold down a job as well as a family and all that kind of thing. And, you know, I've heard a lot of guys mocking that, saying, oh, for goodness sake, you can have a job and a family at the same time. Why are women complaining? Get on with things. It's like, well, you know, looking to things a little deeper, there's still suppression there in many ways. And, you know, women are still mocked for so many things. It's, you know, sometimes it angers me when people push the pro-women thing a bit too far, because it does seem to go a bit extreme. And on the other hand, there are really good examples of how women are still suppressed in many ways. And I'm all for that. But there's got to be a balance. You've got to see things for what they truly are. And there is an imbalance in this world, sure. Men quite often rule most things in this world with government and things like that. You don't very often see a female prime minister or president. And so that's a prime example right there as well, you know. It's a majority of power is handed over to men. And a lot of people think, well, okay, but you're two very different creatures. Granted, we are. Women are more emotional. Men are not so much emotional. They don't respond with emotion as much as women. So we could be seen as erratic and, you know, make harsh decisions based on the emotional things we're thinking at the time. Not all women are like that.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of women like that. That's made some wonderful things happen and take a country forward. Like we had Margaret Thatcher, who was our prime minister back in the day. She did some wonderful things for this country, and sure, she messed up this country too. But then so is other prime ministers who are men, you know? So, you know, I'm not going to go down that path any further, but I'm just trying to make a point that, you know, we deserve the right to be able to, you know.
Point well noted. Yeah, point well noted. Just look at numbers here. About 85%, it might be even more than that actually, but you know, statistically, about 85% of abortions in Texas take place after 6 weeks. It could be 7-8 weeks. You know, now let's say you missed your period. Typically, and that doesn't, you know, and you know, I back in high school, I can't tell me how many girls came up to me and said, "Yeah, you work at Planned Parenthood?" And I'm like, "Yes, I do. Well, I think I might be pregnant." "Well, why?" "Well, I missed my period." And I would say, 90% of the time, it had nothing to do with being pregnant, you know. Sometimes you miss a period, or it's late, or it's different, or whatever, and it doesn't really mean that, you know, just what happens due to many factors, it doesn't necessarily mean you're pregnant. I was an expert in this in high school. Anyway, so most of the time, it meant that they, and I used to bring urine samples down, you know, to Planned Parenthood, like, because I used to go to classes till noon, then I would take the train downtown. I worked at Planned Parenthood till the evening, a couple days a week, and then I worked every Saturday doing the teen clinics. But anyway, I remember those days. And so what might happen is you'll miss a period or something, you think you might be pregnant, you schedule a doctor visit, and at that point, maybe you're 5-6 weeks, and they do an internal exam, check things, and they say, "Yep, you are pregnant." And you know, they can recommend counseling or whatever you might want to do, or something to think about, you or your boyfriend, your husband, or but if you want to terminate the pregnancy, let's do it. Like, let's make an appointment now to do so, wherever, or get an appointment now, depending, you know, wherever the clinic might be. But you should do that like now, and come in next week, which would be 7 weeks. Okay, 10 days, almost 8 weeks. All right, you're there. That early on, that, you know, I have a tough time comprehending. You know, I know 8 to 10 weeks. I guess part of it, I'm a dad, you know, and it's hard for me to maybe say the same words I used to say when I was a teenager. But
of course.
A sexually active teenager, you know, and dealing with girls that were getting pregnant in fucking high schools, you know, by the thousands, you know, discover sex, you discover love, you discover this guy. Hey, one thing you might, you know, heck, you know, my high school girlfriend, we didn't kiss for eight months. Was it 8 months?
I don't know.
It couldn't have been eight. Amanda, how long was
8 days. 8 minutes. 8 seconds.
Hey, Amanda, you and I, you're my internet wife. You and I might break a record here. How long has it been?
A long time, Andy.
We might be breaking records here. See,
I think we are.
I believe in abstinence. Abstinence, right? Right. Ask my wife.
Yes, we're proactive in that sense.
Yeah, Amanda and I have never met, folks. Yeah, absolutely true. But anyway.
Yeah.
But we're on the same page about so many things. It's amazing. You think we go way back. We actually don't, but it's great to have this woman in my life. That's all I can say. But anyway, really, I mean that. But anyway, what was I saying? Do you remember? I was on a roll.
Well, you were talking about not kissing somebody for possibly 8 months.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
8 months.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that. So you're not
Eight leap years.
Oh my. But anyway, I it wasn't 8 weeks. I think it was 8 months.
I recall you saying about 8 months. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 8 months.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get into that again because I want to stay on point here. But what was the point of what I was saying? I don't even remember that. Okay. Anyway, don't even remember. Oh, yeah. I know what it is. That you get relationships. You're teenagers, 14, 15, 16 years old. And that was not unusual age for people to come into Planned Parenthood. You know, 15-year-olds. 11-year-olds. I had 11-year-olds come with the grandmother and their aunts. If their parents had found out that one time when I was upgraded, you know, I used to be 18 to become a counselor. Before that, I did the rap sessions, and I was trained and did pregnancy counseling. Mm-hmm. Not abortion counseling, problem pregnancy counseling, after 18 years old. Yeah, I don't know what it is now. But anyway, I was trained and blah, blah, you know, went through the whole program and everything. But anyway, so I remember one time an 11-year-old came in with her aunt, I think it was, or a relative, who claimed to be a virgin. Absolutely swore.
Okay.
Absolutely swore. And it is theoretic in theory. It's possible to get pregnant and not have intercourse, I think. I've heard that. I don't know if that's
really?
A fact. I heard.
Wow.
I mean, you have to be near, you know, you have to be, you know, the guy has to, you know what I'm saying?
Of course. Yeah.
I don't really get graphic. I'm actually quite a modest fellow.
Yeah, I'm trying not to think too graphically about that one, but yeah.
I'm very modest. People say, Andy, you're modest. I perform on stages all over the place in front of a lot of people. I am like, really? You wouldn't believe how shy and modest I actually am.
I enjoy your modesty. It's very sweet.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, at least somebody appreciates it. Damn, no respect. You know what I mean? Anyway, but I am really modest. So it's hard for me sometimes to talk about things that other people have an easy time talking about. It's not because I have a moral, ethical time, difficult time.
Yeah.
It's just because I'm just a modest, sensitive, new age guy. You know what I mean? I'm a cool guy. Anyway, the light's got to be out. Know what I'm saying? Anyway.
Very good.
I got to talk to you about that one time. I'll tell you. Remind me on a show when we're talking about that subject. I'll tell you a story. Remind me of the story of where we and the lights went out, and I wasn't down in the solid wheat and sour crowd. Know what I mean? So.
I've got to wait for another show for that.
Tomorrow on the Andy and Mander show.
Damn,
bring our listeners back, you know. They hear anti-sexual exploits, not that you want to, but anyway, believe me.
Well, they probably would,
most
actually.
Most people have a much more exciting life than I have, I'm sure. Maybe not.
Oh.
I don't know. You know, I didn't get married till very late in life, you know.
Well, I'm still not married. Yep.
See? Well, you are. What?
Well, yeah, I am. I'm married to you, but... Yeah.
Yes, there we go. God, that was fast. One day we're married, next day we're not. Bam.
Well, you know, I changed my mind
like
every now and again.
What's this?
Depends how sweet you are to me on the day. Well, no, we're not married. Shut off.
Oh, my gosh. But anyway,
it's such a controversial subject, though, isn't it? Really?
It is. We'll touch upon it again. I guess we got to move on. There's other things we want to talk about. But anyway, we got to do something, folks. Us people who are not supportive of abortion or promote abortion. Everybody, I hate that. Oh, we're pro-life. I'm fucking pro-life. I'm also pro-woman's right to choose and her family. I'm pro-life. Who's not pro-life? Give me a break. Pro-life. No, I'm pro-death.
Yes.
Let's play pro-death. What? The opposite of pro-life is pro-death. So if you're not pro-life, then you must be pro-death.
Why? Yeah.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Give me a break, pro-life. You're either supportive of a woman's right to choose or you're not. That's the question. And you should also be pro-birth control, goddammit. You should be pro-family planning. No child should be an unwanted child. No child. No child should be an unwanted child. None. Not one. Not one. So why aren't we out there advocating, promoting, running commercials, standing on street corners, handing out literature, promoting birth control? And know what that would do to the abortion rate? It wouldn't be non-existent, but it would zoom it way down, especially in the younger populations I was saying earlier, because I work with teenagers and I know, and I know since then, high school health classes have greatly improved. Birth control information, pregnancy information has been much more widely accepted and promoted in society as opposed to when I was a teenager back in the 20s. No, anyway, well, back when I was a teenager. and I think things have changed, and I've been out of the loop in the whole, what do you call it, industry, the whole conversation for decades. And I'm a dad of two amazing girls, and there's nothing better. And have babies, but make sure they're wanted babies. Make sure they're wanted babies. And it's not the government or anybody else to tell you if what's right for you. That is what this conversation is about. And this conversation should include advocacy for birth control, because that is the root of the problem. There's only one way you get pregnant, folks. If you don't want to get pregnant, then fucking be safe. Delay it. You're going to have sex? Do something else that will satisfy you sexually. You can do your other things without being explicit. Yeah. We all know that.
Yeah.
I like those other things personally. But anyway.
There's a lot of things to consider, isn't there? Like, I mean, people will blame so many areas of life, okay? So, for example, newspapers and magazines that promote it all the time, right? Kids are going to see it on the shelves when they go into the store with their parents. They're going to be curious what that is. Movies playing in the background when that their parents are watching downstairs while the kids are in bed. Sometimes they can hear certain things and they question what it is about it. Kids talk about it at school because they've heard it from their parents or other friends, or they've witnessed those things I just mentioned. So in some way, you cannot protect a child completely from learning about sex. However, there are ways, like you just said, Andy, to educate them in such a way that makes them really think about these situations. And also, if we think about the sex industry, how much that's pushed into young people's faces, and it gets talked about and heard about. The Playboy branding became huge, and even young teenagers were wearing it. I even seen younger kids wearing it because their parents thought it was cool and thought, Playboy, the image of it's so cool, he's got a bunny on it, and the kids are wearing it. I'm like, do you know what that's even about? And so then you've got all these movies promoting what actually goes on in culture with, kids at uni and college and high school trying to have sex. So what does that do to the younger generations watching it? It's going to make them feel those things, want those things, be curious about those things. So we've got this whole thing in society that thrusts sex in everyone's faces right from an early age. And those types of things get conditioned into us from a very early age. So we start experiencing those things within our body at an earlier age because it's been put there for us to think about and look into and be curious about. So we're sexualizing kids from a very early age just from our society alone. So something needs to be in place to help with that. Because if you've got all those feelings building up in you, what are you going to want to do about it? You're going to want to experience it. Your friends are all talking about it. Yeah, I just had sex. Even if they're lying, it makes you feel like you're, pathetic because you haven't gone out and done it yourself and tried it. And you've got all this pressure. So So it's I really feel for them. I've been there, you've been there, Andy. It's kind of like, you know, to try and fit in and experience something that's meant to be incredible and worthy, and it is in the right way.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, I really feel for this whole society structure that we have based on sex. It's just, there needs to be more education about it.
You know something? I think the abortion issue would be much more engaging if we talked about sex instead of abortion.
Yeah.
I think so. Because if there is no sex, there is no pregnancy. So we should just be talking about sex when it comes right down to it and preventing pregnancy. That's what we should be talking about.
Yeah.
515-605-9888 is the number to get on board in the remainder of our show or any live show. Of course, many of you, most of you hear this via podcast where it's too late to join us. But I'm glad you're listening. We do appreciate you listening. This is the Andy and Amanda Show. We're on Blog Talk Radio. We're in 23 countries around the world right now. Thousands of listeners. And our coordinator, Cornell Butler, back on the East Coast, gets Amanda and I the numbers here and there. And they are like going up and up and up and up. And we thank all the listeners around the world, mostly in North America and Mexico. But with your listeners around the world, and our most recent evidence of that is the newest country that joined us with listeners is Argentina. And you folks down there, welcome aboard.
We're so excited to have you. Truly, thank you so much.
So South America is starting to fill up. You know, we have Brazil and I'm not looking right now, but we have other countries down there and 23 countries. So great. We're doing something. This is the Andy and Amanda Show. And we're going to move right along. And something else that kind of bothers me, I'll tell you what else bothers me, idiot congressional minority leader, this guy by the name of Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy, after the January 6th insurrection, got up and pretty much laid the blame on Donald Trump. And went on, you know, I don't know if we played it or not before. I guess we can down the road. But he gave it along to – I should have prepped. I should have been able to play that clip right now. But anyway – I'm just going to summarize. He pretty much went on record and condemned, for lack of a better word, Trump for his part in this insurrection. But as did Mitch McConnell and others, as did Ted Cruz, right? Then a few days later, they reversed course. Trump had nothing to do with that. Trump didn't. Not his doing. Well, we all know that that's not true. And of course, it was Trump who incited the walk to the Capitol, and he's going to march with them. And his guy, I'm drawing a blank. Oh, I see his ugly face, the former mayor of New York. You know who I mean. How come I can think of his? It was his former attorney. The guy with oil dripping out of his ears. Who gave the press conference in front of the porn store, the porn shop in Northeast Philadelphia.
Hip it a bit with the oil.
I will not mention his name with great intent. He's not with the publicity. Anyway, we must fight with combat. You know, blah blah blah. Anyway, So the Senate voted down the Republicans voted against doing their investigation, but the Congress said, "Hell, we're going to do one." And Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader and congressman, said that here's what he said, that he threatened telecommunication companies that have received requests from the congressional committee investigating January 6th insurrection by saying essentially that if they comply, that they have to – they're going to have hell to pay, to put it bluntly. If the Republicans take back the majority in 2022, that any company that complies with subpoenas
is going to have hell to pay
for giving the phone records of all the Republicans that called Donald Trump pleading for him for help, which he refused to do.
Yeah.
Until 2 or 3 hours into it. And so the congressional committee wants to know, well, who was the Republicans that called Trump pleading with Trump? And we all know that they did. And McCarthy was one of them, right?
Mm.
Don't give my phone record. Don't let Congress know that I called Trump, because he, knowing at the time that he was the one who could put an end to this thing right now, and he didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't. So anyway, so this guy, Kevin McCarthy's got to go. Vote him out. Done. Get rid of him, folks. Vote him out of office. Vote him out of office.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So, you know, these things that are going on in this country. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. And it all comes back to the day Donald Trump announced that he was going to run for presidency, and let alone took office for presidency. We how many times have we beat that horse? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Donald Trump.
It is crazy.
And, yeah, he's created such division in this country, and his Supreme Court appointments. To overturn Roe v. Wade. You know. And you know what? And then you said, well, don't vote for Joe Biden. He's going to pack the Supreme Court, meaning that he's going to put more justices on the Supreme Court that are liberal, more liberal thinking judges. And Trump said, don't vote for him. He's going to pack the court. Pack the court. Has he packed the court? No. Has he said he's going to pack the court? No. But now what I'm saying, know what I say right now?
Pack the court, Joe.
Get it going right now. And here's the thing about the Supreme Court, folks. I don't know how many of you out there really understand this. 9 justices. They just arbitrarily pick that number. They just pick a number. Okay, let's go 10, 11. Oh, 9. No, make it 9. Make it 9. Okay, no. It's based upon the population and the jurisdictions, the way the country is based really upon the population of the country. We should have had way more justices. We should have had 13, I believe it is right now. And you can look it up yourself. I'm not going to go into it. Maybe at something else I'll make a note and dive more into that and the substance behind that and how Supreme Courts are composed and why they're composed the way they are. And there's even those who say the Supreme Court justice should not have a lifetime appointment. You know, it should be just like a senator. They come in and they go. And that, I'm kind of thinking that too. But anyway, my thinking is now the way this country's shaken out, thanks to Donald Trump, who I think is going to be indicted someday, and then let's look at this again. But anyway, we better get some more justices on that court. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
And we should, not just because we want the court to be swayed another way, but the federal law right now is abortion is legal in the United States. And the Supreme Court should have stepped in and said, whoa, Tech, because you can't do that. The law is the law. The law is the law. Abortion is legal in the United States. You don't like it? It's the law. You got to wear a seatbelt too. You don't like it? I don't care. You got to wear a seatbelt. Right?
Wow.
Got to wear a seatbelt.
Yeah.
It's the law. Oh, you got to stop at the red light. You don't like it? You can't go through it.
Wow.
That's the law. The law is the law, whether it be federal, local, regional, whatever. A law is a law. In the United States, abortion is legal, period. That's the federal law.
Right.
So, you don't like it? Well, put justices in place that'll overturn it. They did.
Yeah.
And those of us who support women's rights and women's rights to choose, not pro-life or, you know, I'm not going to go into that because that's wrong. Pro-life. Jesus Christ. Give me a break. Pro-life. Yeah. Jesus. This one you thought you've heard it all. Anyway, the women's right to choose. This is all about women's right to choose and what's best for them. The government should not intervene. The government does not have the right to intervene.
I agree completely. I mean, what's going to be next is the question.
Excuse me. You know what just occurred to me?
What's that?
But these same hypocrites say, "Oh, socialism. The government shouldn't decide overtax. The government shouldn't socialism benefits, Medicare. Government's too big. The government needs to get out of the pocket of the people. The government needs to turn this country back to the people. Then fucking let a woman decide what's right for her own body, not
Uncle Sam." Exactly. I agree. And how out of hand is this going to get? I mean, now one state has done it. How many other states will follow? It's going to be very interesting seeing this. And it's very concerning as well, Andy. I got to admit, all these changes that are taking place right now.
Yeah, it's unreal. It's unreal.
It is.
Let's play what the people say. Let's go to TikTok here move on. Let's play that. Okay, ready? Here we go.
Yes,
it's the time again to play what the TikTok people are saying.
I'm not mad that we're pulling out of Afghanistan. I'm pissed off at 20 years worth of lies. Both parties hold responsibility here. But I'll be damned if I'm going to get lectured by the warmongering GOP. 10 years, 3 months, and 14 days ago, we killed Osama bin Laden. So why are we still in Afghanistan in 2021? And the reason for that is to pad the pockets of the military-industrial complex to include their good buddies like Dick Cheney and Eric Prince. Does anybody not remember when Trump and Pompeo hosted the Taliban in the White House? Does everybody remember that? Yeah. That was their plan, ladies and gentlemen. The GOP now and their allies who've made a lot of money off of our blood, sweat, and tears wants to blame it all on President Biden. Not on my watch. There's a lot of people that are responsible here, but none more than the Bush administration. This is bullshit, and it's not Biden's fault. Biden's doing the right thing. Sappers clear the way, airborne all the way.
That was one of the lollipop kills. Yeah, lollipop kills on Blizzard.
I love the voice. I was trying not
we
to laugh through that.
Represent.
You guys are not serious.
I'm sorry, but it's true. I did want to laugh. I got over my
head. Oh, yeah.
Dean of Congress, you're the greatest. You're the elder statesman of humor.
Thank
you deserve attention and respect.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
I agree. I agree with that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Here's how I feel about that. Getting back to that, the Afghanistan. We're all, you know, Biden. We're out of Afghanistan. All the U.S. military has left, and what Biden has said: anybody, any American left in Afghanistan who wants to leave, we will find you and we will get you out. And
yeah,
I don't know what they're. What, I don't know anything about how they're doing that, but anyway. Here's, you know, and the end of this 20-year-old war. Well,
yeah.
Let's talk about that just for a second. Okay, let's break that down, all right?
Yeah.
The end of this 20-year-old war. We're not at war with Afghanistan. How long have we been in Germany? Are we at war with Germany?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, are we? Let me think.
No, not as far as I know.
World War II did end. Confirm, please.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'd like to confirm that, and I want that to be true.
Thank you. All right.
Yeah.
So we're not at war with Germany. We're not at war with, we're all over the world. So we weren't at war with Afghanistan, but what we were there doing is preventing terror organizations such as ISIS, ISIS-K, Taliban from grouping and becoming a source of problems, a big source of problems for the free world looking ahead.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Afghanistan was the free haven for a very long time for these terror groups to have their training camps and to recruit from and to bring people into to join their cause and their fight, mostly just nothing short of hoodlums and lowlifes who didn't have anything else to do with their lives, so they joined this cause, you know. They're not professionally trained military people. There's no country-sponsored army that Taliban is. They're just a group of individuals who are lost souls, I think, you know. And
listen, this is the way it is.
Yeah, it is. That's who they are.
Thank
but
you,
Trump. We were not. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. We were not at war with Afghanistan, and it wasn't a 20-year war. You know, and people died there. American soldiers died there in military equipment crashes, in some IUD, not IUD, IUD, back to birth control. IED, excuse me. God.
Andy, it's okay. It's a bit of the
You know what I'm saying. IED. No, I'm going back to this birth control thing. Sorry about that. But anyway, in all seriousness, but the, you know, loss of human life there has been horrific. There's a couple thousand people who died there, and we, you know, I hate to say it, but I, part of me feels that we left them and their cause there stranded. We pulled out, and it wasn't a 20-year-old war. We were there to stabilize and to prevent terror groups from killing a lot of people in the future.
Yeah. Yes.
And now we're out of there, and Taliban came in and overran that country, and ISIS is there now too. Obviously, they're the people who did the terror attacks at the airport, And we we're using, and now we're using drone, you know, unmanned aircraft to, you know, we took out a couple leaders and jeeps and so forth, and the Taliban and the ISIS is using red cars as rocket launchers now, and I'm talking about a war.
Yeah,
I just think, and Trump, as the guy said from TikTok, Trump orchestrated this. Trump came in and said, "We're getting out of Afghanistan. We're that's going to be our policy. We're leaving. Bam, we're doing it." And he freed, as we said in the last show, he freed the guy who was in jail, the leader of the terror group who was in prison. Yeah. Pakistani troops found this guy with American intelligence assistance, and we put him in jail. We removed him. We freed him, and then Trump entertained him and his assistant at the White House, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
And he is now the leader of Taliban, orchestrating these terror attacks on the Afghan citizens, imprisoning women, raping women, 12-year-olds, auctioning off as slaves.
Disgusting.
We got to go.
They've been parading their military equipment today, last few days, that they managed to capture, flying helicopters over and doing all sorts. And it's just like this whole situation makes me feel so sick, Andy. Sick to
the
stomach. It's
bad.
Awful. Yeah.
Hey, we're back on the air again Friday at noon.
If a person has got nothing to do but watch your show 12 o'clock, he's not doing so hard.
God. Talking about no respect.
I know. My goodness.
We wanted to talk about the AMC squeeze. We're not going to. This show, obviously, we're going to touch it again on Friday. I'll probably be remote Friday. I'm not sure about Friday because I don't know what my travel plans are. We'll be remote in New York or here. If I'm traveling, I'll let you know, Amanda. We'll reschedule Friday's show.
So
keep that up as a tentative show. Friday, new time in the West Coast, 3 p.m. East Coast, 8 p.m. Back in the U.K. We're talking all about investments, the AMC squeeze, what's going on. I bought a lot more. I think you should, too. We'll talk about why on Friday. Thank you, Amanda. Why don't you get us out of Dodge?
Okay, then, Andy. So on behalf
Where are we again? Andy, what exactly is Dodge? What exactly is Dodge?
I'll start again.
On behalf of
Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, and myself, Amanda Love, here in the UK. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Heavy breathing. Thank you to our listeners, especially those new listeners in Argentina. Thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully, there'll be a show Friday to join us then. And if not, then, you know, have a great weekend and an even better weekend, right? Keep smiling, even though with this chaos in the world, we love you and we appreciate you being here. So, yeah.
We really do. We do.
Yeah.
I have no further use for you.
So we'll leave.
Charming.
We're out of here. You know what I mean?
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
We better go on.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
We're out of here. We're out of here.
I get it.
Okay. All right. We're gone once and for all. Thank you, folks, for tuning in again. As Amanda said, wish everybody well. Be safe. Be good. And we'll see you on Friday, most likely. Most likely on Friday. Right? We think.
Yeah.
Right? I think we're going to have Lee Van Dusen back on Friday, too, our expert and counselor in the AMC squeezing, I believe. Anyway, it's all up in the air right now, but we hope to be able to join you Friday. Take care, folks. We're out of here. Bye.
Bye.